Sigh of the World. I'm John Batchelor. The London Times in these last hours. Philippines blames aggressor, in quotes, Beijing as ships collide in South China Sea. This is Richard Lloyd Perry, the Asia editor for the Times of London. The Philippines denounced China as an aggressor after vessels from the two countries collided Sunday close to disputed islands in the strategic China Sea. No one was injured in the two separate incidents, although Manila reported damage to one of its vessels close to Second Thomas Shoal. The isolated reef named Ayungin in the Philippines and Renae in China has been the scene of repeated encounters between the two countries. I end the Times reporting. I welcome Gordon Chang, at Gordon G. Chang, my colleague and co-host. Gordon, Second Thomas Shoals, we've been discussing it for weeks. Is there a probability that these incidents could have been coincidental to the Chinese aggression on the Second Thomas Shoal? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. And the answer is no. China is trying to deliberately provoke an accident, an incident. It looks like it wants to go to war. You know, there's a thought in China that China is not able to take Taiwan. So they're trying to pick on a weaker target. And we're seeing this not only at Second Thomas Shoal, but at Scarborough Shoal. And the United States has just issued another warning that we were prepared to use force to defend our treaty ally, the Philippines.
We welcome our colleague Charles Burton of the McDonnell Laurier Institute to comment on this incident and what this means not only for the Philippines, but also for those committed to protecting our treaty obligations, everyone's treaty obligations, NATO, the G7, the EU, everyone's treaty obligations, because the Philippines is a member of the international community. Charles, very good evening to you. As Gordon just reported, we have a self-defense relationship, a defense relationship with the Philippines, the U.S. does. I'm unfamiliar with whether Canada has a similar pledges, but this certainly doesn't look like a coincidence. How did you hear it? How did you think of it when you first heard the news? Good evening to you, Charles.
Good evening. Well, I mean, as Gordon has said, you know, this is a longstanding issue of the Philippines maintaining a military presence on one of those shoals that you know, clearly should belong to the Philippines, and which the law of the sea suggests is not Chinese territory, and the Chinese claiming that the Philippines is illegally supplying their sailors on that on a boat which is up against that shoal. The fact that they have rammed the supply boat is clearly Chinese aggression. It seems that it fits along with other Chinese activities, such as dangerous activities in the sea with regard to Western ships engaged in freedom of navigation exercises, and dangerous coming very close to airplanes that have been used to try and monitor North Korea and China's bucking of the UN sanctions on delivery of energy into North Korea. So it looks as if, you know, somehow or other, some element within the Chinese military is hoping that there will be a disaster, which would then provoke some kind of very strong military response and open up the situation. I guess the Chinese are hoping that if they force the issue, that somehow or other we'll back off from our attempt to defend the freedom of navigation in the South China Sea and back off on our commitment to Taiwan and back off on our commitment to defend UN sanctions against North Korea. But what really could happen is that this could be the spark that leads to a war, particularly in the context of, you know, the potential for a disastrous expansion of military hostilities in the Middle East, you know, backed by Iran. And of course, if the situation in Ukraine is not going the way that Vladimir Putin wants, which it isn't, would he then engage in more aggressive military tactics that would bring NATO into a confrontation? In other words, are we looking at a situation where we could have a three-front war that the U.S. is expected to play a very active role in defending our allies in three different places at once, And I guess, you know, war in Europe, war in the Middle East, war in the Indo-Pacific simultaneously does sound like a third world war, doesn't it?
Gordon, you have a question for Charles. Dean, it does, Charles. Go ahead, Charles. Gordon.
Charles, on Sunday, which was the day of this ramming of the Philippine vessels, a Chinese fighter came within 5 meters of a Canadian plane that was monitoring the North Korean activities, as you just pointed out. It seems that China is actually determined to not only try to undercut UN monitoring of sanctions violations, but it could very well bring Canada into the fight as well.
Well, yes, I think, you know, if the Chinese plane had crashed into the Canadian plane, which was, you know, a substantial risk. I mean, they really were far too close and far too aggressive. And of course, Canada has protested to the Chinese government that this is, as they put it, unprofessional and dangerous. But yes, I mean, if a Canadian plane was lost due to Chinese aggression, would that trigger further action, not just by Canada, but by all of the nations who are involved in these sorts of exercises? Maybe they see Canada as a weaker target than if they'd done it to a U.S. craft. But, you know, we're seeing this not only with airplanes, but also on the high seas where China's, as we know, been attempting to cut off U.S. and allied ships that are trying to maintain freedom of navigation in that region. And of course, China's increasing aggression over Taiwan. How long before the Taiwanese start to respond to that in a way which is much more risky in terms of potential for a crash and loss of life and subsequent requirements that we all respond to tragic loss of life due to Chinese aggression?
A moment, Charles, to check on how this is being presented, these three episodes, the two episodes we've named and the episode some weeks ago where the Chinese Coast Guard, the Chinese fishing fleet was trying to cut off the Philippines patrol. How is it being presented in Canada? As aggression, as accident, back pages? How do the Canadian people respond?
I don't think that this kind of issue has a huge presence yet in the minds of Canadians, which is really most unfortunate because, you know, this worldwide threat to security and sovereignty has enormous implications for the future, including the Canadian North, where, you know, Russia claims quite a bit of Canadian Arctic territory, and China now has a polar Silk Road and defines itself as a near Arctic state. If there was a global conflict, would China and Russia attempt to expand its territory in the north of North America because of the presence of critical minerals and other resources there, not to speak of important shipping lanes that have become open as the Arctic seas have warmed up. So, you know, this is not something that we should be just having as a watching brief. We need to be much more prepared and have plans to address the possibility of increasing global instability and military threats to our territorial integrity and our allies.
Gordon, you have a quick question.
Charles, it seems that the great democracies are reluctant to acknowledge the threat. Yeah. That must be the same with Justin Trudeau, correct?
Oh, I think definitely with regard to the Canadian government, who have been consistently sympathetic to Chinese purposes for decades. And they don't, it's a really a question of willful blindness. They're not prepared to see what's really going on. And they simply don't respond when these concerns are raised, whether it's in the media by people like myself, say, or in parliamentary committees that have been increasingly commenting on China, or indeed the recent Five Eyes meeting that had a participation by Canada that defines China as the greatest threat to our security and sovereignty by a long shot. You know, this kind of thing is just not getting the focus and attention and policy response that it should. And Canada really needs to have a proper defense policy that addresses the changing global situation and makes the best use of Canada's limited resources to try and maximize our ability to stave off national disaster.
30 seconds, Charles. Is Ottawa overwhelmed? The Middle East, Ukraine, and now the Philippines, too much for the staff?
I think it's overwhelmed. I mean, Canada, like the United States, is both a Pacific and an Atlantic country, and we have the North. I think that we don't have enough resources and we don't have enough focus on how Canada can make the best contribution to maintaining the international rules-based order led by the United States. It's something that I think about a great deal, and I find it very disturbing that we're sliding into a very bad situation, apparently like sleepwalking right into it as China, Russia, and Iran are conspiring in ways that are more and more favoring their own interests.
Charles Burton of the McDonnell Laurier Institute. Gordon Chang, I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.